Share screen too. Okay. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So today we'll be talking on intent-based networking with CZVPN. We have Henry here as a guest speaker, and the intent-based networking page for R9 is off of the R9 portal page. And just so people know, I've been working in the past couple months with the architecture team to create the major use cases tab off of the architecture page. So if you go to the highlevelwiki.onap.org and then you go into off the architecture, off the ONAP major use cases, I created pages for high level pages for all of the major use cases. And so you can kind of go to any one of these pages, and it gives you a high level description of that use case, and then a link to all of the sub pages and project pages in the particular releases that they have been working on. And then if there's a base page they have, and then the people who have been working them, and any overview presentation slides. So for example, for today's intent-based slicing, our intent-based use case, there's two intent-based pages. There's the general intent-based one, but there's also this one for CZVPN, right? And that's a different use. So I didn't create a page for that yet, but we certainly should create a page for that. So I think
Ben, you have a CZVPN page. I saw it.
But this is transport slicing.
This is transport slicing.
Yeah. It's a different, right? Your thing is different than CZVPN. So what, let's see, what we can do is maybe I can copy this page here. Copy this page. Okay, and then so your use case should be called intent-based networking with CCVPN, right?
CCVPN support for intent. That's the
okay, like that,
I
right?
I recall, I created some pages similar.
You did create a page for the R9. This is your R9 page, right? See, the difference here is that this is for the this is for the general, the page you have now is just for R9, whereas this is forever, right? This page is
I see. So in that sense, Ben, I would probably create just one CCVPN page, but with R9, R8, R9, etc. Because they are all CCVPN.
I see. Okay. So in that case, maybe we should just delete the page I just made. Okay. Let me just delete this page. Okay. So actually, then what you want is there's in the major use cases, I think there's already a CCVPN. There's no CCVPN page itself, but there's just CCVPN for transport slicing. CCVPN, right. Isn't that a major project though? So you...
Yeah, well, it is a categorized as a use case, but it is
So maybe we can make a CCVPN page. Okay, so why don't we make a CCVPN page then? See it here.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Let me just duplicate use cases. And maybe we'll just start with, it doesn't matter which page I copy. So I think we'll just copy this page here. And then we'll just call it maybe CCVPN use case and applications or something like this.
Okay,
that. Okay. Sure. And then you can add,
Can I link to the transport slicing page or just copy paste?
Yeah. So I think we can, like in R9, we can just copy this here and then you can edit this. So I'll put this in the link here.
Okay.
this here. And then let me see. So okay, and then I should have. Well, we can update this later. But this is we can put the your the R9 page that you created for CCP.
Oh, okay, great. Okay, yeah, that's what I
this. And then this will link to the R9 work. And there's probably other use cases in previous releases.
Yes, that's that's great. And so that I can refer,
And so basically, just so people know, the I've been working in the past this year basically to create this page, and it has all of the major portal pages for every release. It has overviews and demos for all of the use cases. So we'll make. For today's call, I'll put a new line here for CCVPN support for intent-based networking.
Yeah.
Here, like this. Okay, like this. And basically, we can put your slides here from today's, from today's meeting. And also, I had what's going on? What is going on here? Okay, there we go. Also, just so people know that there's also a portal page now from here that you can get to, which you can basically, what we can add the, it just has the IBN right now, but we can add a new one for CCVPN, but it'll take you to, pages on intent-based networking, for example. So this navigatable page takes you to all of the sub pages in the major use cases. So we'll add one for CCVPN. Yeah. Okay. So, are there any questions on that? And then we'll turn it over to Henry to present. Okay, if not, Henry, go ahead and start.
Okay. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay, and hi, everyone. Thanks for your interest in CCVPN. I start to share my screen now. Can everybody see the screen?
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, hold on. Who says disabled?
Okay, oh, sorry. I need to enable. Hold on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Now try.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Nice.
Okay. Great. Yeah. Now I can see.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks. Great. Okay. Yeah.
Maybe you want to go into presentation mode. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I switch now. Okay. So thanks again, everyone. I'll give a presentation to the CCVPN and its support for the Istanbul release, which is mainly on intent based networking. I would start first of all with a brief review on the history of CCVPN. This presentation may take about half an hour or less, and then we can do the question and answer and sharing afterwards. I would just give a use case view of CCVPN in this presentation, rather than a architectural, technical design view of CCVPN. Okay, so it's mainly discussing what CCVPN want to do, as opposed how CCVPN want to do it. So we start with this first page. As we can see, the highlight here is that CCVPN in the middle of this page is showing it's evolution in phases. It started roughly in 2018. Casablanca release as a first as it's a first phase, which CCVPN developed the VPN solution, mainly a L2 service for the VPN solution for the transport network. So in that in this phase, we developed mainly a point-to-point connection for using Ethernet. Then starting in the outer release and mainly in the Frankfurt, we developed the L1 service, which is the OTN service. It sounds funny that we developed Ethernet service in phase one, but then OTN service in phase two. The highlight here is that in phase two, we mainly use OTN as a multiplexing technique, where in phase one, we use pure just Ethernet, and OTN is not a multiplexing, but really it's just a point-to-point tunnel. The reason why we need to develop that in phase two is because we want to the cross domain connections to be supported by CCVPN using OTN protection. That OTN protection did not exist in phase one. That's why we added phase two. And also worth to mention is that for the L1 or OTN multiplexing technique, in the southbound, we implemented the two standards. One is the IETF ACTN interface standards, and the other is the MEF ONF standards for the M1 L1 as well. More precisely, that's implemented by the MDONS use case, we work together, CCVPN and MDONS work together in phase two. And phase two concluded at the end of Frankfurt. Then starting in Guilin release, CCVPN evolved into phase three, which is the support for transport slicing. As we know starting in Guilin release, the E2E network slicing use case entered its major phase development, which is phase two. It need the RAN slicing, the core slicing, as well as the transport slicing connecting RAN and the core. At CCVPN, we take the initiative to support the network slicing. So as a result, the CCVPN phase three concluded in a Guilin release, but extended a little bit in Honolulu. So by the time frame of Guilin release plus the Honolulu release, we are able to support the transport slicing required or defined by 3GPP standards, successfully support the network slicing use case. Then in this release, Istanbul release, CCVPN evolution entered the fourth phase, which is mainly to support the intent-based networking. And there's as we see, there's another use case in ONAP that is the intent-based networking use case. And CCVPN collaborate with the IBN use case and to support the transport domain or transport aspect of the intent networking. So this is roughly an overview of the CCVPN. history, and the takeaway is that CCVPN is a use case that has been evolving into several phases, and each phase it would support a would add some major functionality and make it usable for other use cases to carry on other applications. So that said, there's a few design a requirement that a CCVPN need to fulfill in order to achieve what we just said on CCVPN. So first of all, CCVPN itself is an independent use case. It itself can carry a cross-layer, you know, cross-domain VPN service. That's one requirement. So it has to be self-deployable and self-contained. And another requirement is that, as we just mentioned, it is required to be able to evolve and add new capabilities and also be able to support other use cases. Now, for example, network slicing and the intent-based networking. That's second requirement. The third one requirement for CCVPN is, of course, we need a scalable and evolvable architecture that not only allow us to add new applications or slash use cases into the CCVPN, but also be able to support the legacy functionalities, right? All the functionalities that we developed in the past also need to be supported. To fulfill the three requirements, we need a architecture. This brings the next page. The architecture that can support.
Sorry to interrupt, Henry. Yes, but maybe it occurs to me that maybe some people aren't too familiar with CCVPN in general. Okay. Maybe if I could just share really quickly.
Yeah, sure. You want
to share
this?
It would be good for you to maybe walk through.
Okay.
And I think it would be just, you know, because not everybody has, people may be new completely to ONAP and stuff too. So CCVPN, I think, is, you know, here's some general background about CCVPN. You know, the background is, you know, service providers are trying to build a high bandwidth, flat, super high speed optical transport network, OTN. As they transform society into the digital economy and an information-based society. And the goal is to try to provide a high-speed, flexible, and intelligent service that people can use. So there are they're trying to evolve essentially this current optical transport network, but there's a lot of labor is needed for service scheduling and resource management and a demand for a large private and bandwidth and private lines and no easy way to connect those things. And so there are demands for real-time resource updates and OTN operations scheduling and multi-constraint end-to-end route computation and so forth. And basically the idea of CCVPN, which is this cross-domain, cross-layer VPN, is to basically combine this SOTN with ONAP to be able to realize a unified management and scheduling of resources and services. So Henry, maybe you want to talk to this sort of general idea of CCVPN first. That might help people give some context to. That would be good. I think.
Right. So CCVPN as started as a use case that. Try to enable right the multi domain, meaning that there's multiple physical networks managed by, for example, different vendors or different operators, and also can be multiple networks that grouped according to vendors, different vendors, right? And also, the second C of CCVPN is a cross layer from the networking's perspective, this so-called layer is basically L3, L2, and L1 layers. For example, L3, for example, can be IP network, right? So it can be a L3 VPN network. L2 is, for example, an Ethernet, like a carrier Ethernet, right? A service. Now L1 is what we mentioned. It could be a OTN network. So the CCVPN use case in a nutshell is able to allow the operator to offer VPN services, right, across the layers, and also interconnect different networks, right, different network domains together. So this is the essential requirement for CCVPN, right? That said, since the participants of CCVPN, participating companies of CCVPN are mainly Huawei, Fujitsu, and they are mainly on the optical domain. So we are able to offer. That's why I mentioned we offer E-line and the point to point services, which is it's shown here in the picture, right? So there's E-line services, and the layer three VPN or the IP, isolation VPN are realized at the edge, which is in the picture in the bottom. We call it the site, right? Site. In the site, the CPE, they have the IP routing capabilities. The CCVPN architecture is need to be able to provision both the IP VPN or L3 VPN at the edge of the network, and also provision the E-line in Istanbul, the E-tree, right, services in the middle, which is the core network, right? So in essence, CCVPN is a transport domain use case that able to provide VPN services over a multi-domain transport network, right?
Great. Okay, I think that helps. So set the stage. Yeah, thanks.
Right. And okay, thanks, Ben.
Yeah, you can share now.
Okay. Right. So as said, in essence, so CCVPN itself is an independent use case. It offers services by itself. But also we want to CCVPN to be able to support other use cases to make a application in a greater scope. For example, right, the network slicing use case, it does not only involve a transport, right? It also involves a RAN, a network, and a core network, right? So it's a bigger use case, and we as the transport specific use case like to be able to integrate with that use case and support that use case. And so so if I go to my next page, as I mentioned, the requirement for CCVPN, how to cope with the complexity and how to also be able to scale, right, further down the road, we need to choose a architecture that can support us, that can support these requirements. Made a choice to implement CCVPN as what's called a transport management domain, which is a concept, architectural concept defined by the ETSI ZSM. I mentioned about this concept a few times in my previous presentations. The highlight here of this this architecture is that the CCVPN can be right encapsulated in what's called a management domain. A management domain is a self deployable and self testable software entity, and that offers a clearly defined user interfaces or APIs, application interfaces that can be consumed by the customers, or meaning other applications or other use cases. And these APIs or the interfaces offered by the management domain are technology agnostic. So so whether the implementation underneath is used in what kind of technology is not be exposed to the user of CCVPN or the consumer of CCVPN. And secondly, the another advantage of this architecture is that it is a federated solution architecture. So in other words, the modules, the implementation modules that fit into the management domain, it is more or less like a Lego, like pieces like that can be plugged in and plugged out and replaced by other Lego pieces to form a federated solution. So the advantage of this is that that makes CCVPN not only bind to any specific technology, right? So in the past, as we see, right, CCVPN can offer, for example, the IETF based interfaces, but it can also offer, for example, the ONF based interfaces, and both can coexist because encapsulate technology specific information inside the management domain, and which can be plugged and replaced, and keep the northbound interface unimpacted, because the northbound interface offered here is technology agnostic. So this is a background on how CCVPN overall architecture a concept is look like. Then we can dive into today's topic, which is intent, right? As I mentioned that for the Istanbul release, the main focus for CCVPN is to support the intent. So the background about intent is highlighted in this page. I borrowed this picture from IRTF draft, which highlights some clarifies some the IBN concepts. In a nutshell, the intent-based networking contains mainly two parts. One is what we call intent fulfillment. That's mainly a call flow that be able to fulfill the user intent and orchestrate, configure the user intent onto the physical network. The second very important capability of intent is what's called intent assurance. This is mainly saying that not only the user intent can be fulfilled by the system automatically, but also the system can automatically ensure the intent can meet the user's goal at the runtime and which implies that the system can automatically monitor the performance of the network and also automatically take actions to fulfill or to keep the intent once there's some abnormality or are discovered by the performance monitoring module, and in order to fulfill both the intent fulfillment and the intent assurance, the system need to design two what's called intent control loops. The first control loop is the bigger loop highlighted in red, and that is the intent loop that involves a user to negotiate or participate the intent systems the operation. There's another loop. There's a second loop is called the intent inner loop. That's really a classic zero touch closed loop in the network, the management of network. And this inner loop is what CCVPN can help, right? So CCVPN mainly want to support the or implement the inner loop as a classic zero touch network management function, right? And we will implement that in the what we previously mentioned, the transport management domain. So this is another background that worth to mention. Then to go one step further from the previous slide, the two loops of intent, right, can be implemented on ONAP in two use cases. The bigger outer loop, right, need the help from the IBN use case. So the IBN use case interact with the end user, right? So it is responsible for for example, the intent translate, right? That translate user's intent into the network intent, and then also it need to be able to report the intent parameters, right? Performance parameters, KPIs, back to the user, right? So that the user can see, right, how the network operates. The inner loop, as mentioned, right, is a totally zero touch control loop that will be fulfilled by the CCVPN. Then the two use cases interact with each other via the management services we mentioned earlier, right? That are exposed by the ONAP, exposed by the CCVPN ONAP. So that said, this is roughly a idea that we want to realize in Istanbul. To further clarify, this picture here, currently showing on my screen, is one step more detail from the previous slides. According to the IRTF draft, ONAP's the intent-based networking use case plus CCVPN to altogether is what's called the intent-based system. So that's the my understanding is that these two use cases plus together is the what we call the official definition of intent, right? It's more the real intent. However, there are some literatures that mentioned that the capability that we want to implement on the CCVPN, some literature call that as intent. To clarify or to distinguish these two, the IRTF draft call what CCVPN offers the service intent. So in other words, the CCVPN itself offers some northbound interfaces that can allow the CCVPN's consumer to consume. But these are still API-like, right? Northbound API-like interfaces. Although they are technology agnostic, but still they are they are APIs which has the certain format, right? So the user has to comply with these API format, regardless that the fact that they are technology agnostic. The real intent is what the IBM use case is doing, which is to do a natural language processing, right? So the user is not obligated, right, to speak a machine-like language. The user just speak a natural human language. So this picture is try to differentiate, right, the two levels of intent, and this picture also highlight a little more detail inside the CCVPN. As we see, right, the arrow, this green arrow is a call flow from all the way from the northbound from SO all the way to SDNC and then to the third party vendor domain controllers. This call flow is the realization of the intent fulfillment. The red circle in the middle is a closed loop that is needed to realize the intent assurance. Right. The previous slides conclude the introduction for what intent will be implemented on the in CCVPN. In terms of the application, what the CCVPN intent use case want to really achieve as the use case, we would implement this picture here. That this picture is the VPN service for the Cloud Lease Line. The Cloud Lease Line is it's not new. This service, this use case has been there for quite some time. What's new is we want to realize this Cloud Lease Line service using a intent, right? Using intent networking. Okay. The requirement is that nothing different from the existing Cloud Lease Line use case requirement, right? So mainly we want to support enterprise to access multiple clouds, right, using VPN isolation. Okay, and then one step further, talking about more details on the southbound, this is, by the way, a technology specific information, right? To program or provision the Cloud Lease Line service, on the physical network, we need to introduce the point to multipoint connections to support in order to support this use case. So in the past of use in the past, CCVPN can only support point to point connections. For example, E-line, right? The E-line service. But to support the enterprise to cloud access, P2P is doable, but is not efficient. We need a P2MP service model. So we will need to introduce an E-tree service model to CCVPN in order to support this this use case. So this is basically what this this page is saying, right? And this slides, I will go go quickly. It basically it's echoed what I mentioned about how intent fulfillment is realized on app. The very very northbound, right, is a user that specifies its intent to the intent based network use case. And then the IBN would do intent translation to translate the user's intent into the APIs, right? What would you call the CCVPN northbound API, and call the CCVPN to do the rest, right? So that's step three. And the entity of in the CCVPN that responsible to process that intent based API is SO. The SO receives the request from the intent based network use case. It would create what we call a cloud lease line definition model in the AAI that captures what user's intent is, but in a machine defined model, right? In a data model that can be more precise for the software to understand. So this is the step four. SO delegate the network specific configurations on the physical network to SDNC to fulfill the job. So the SDNC in step six is really have to do a very important job, which is to translate the cloud lease line definition model, which captures the user intent, but not any, there's no any network specific information in it, into what we call the cloud lease line implementation models. These models are network configurations that that can be mapped back into the user intent or the CL definition model, but it has way more details in terms of how to configure the network, right? All the network configuration details are captured in the CIL implementation model. That's what step six is. And finally, the network configurations will be sent down to the physical network controller. That's step seven. With step seven, it concludes the intent fulfillment call flow. After the intent fulfillment is carried out, then the next step is to monitor the network to make sure the service is insured, right? So, i.e., the intent assurance. So this picture here shows a very very high level description on how the intent assurance is supported by CCVPN. And I borrowed the architecture from ZSM again, but this time is a ZSM standard 009. ZSM 009 is a closed loop standard, and it it specifies four interfaces in ZSM 009, all of which can be implemented or realized on ONAP. The first phase of a closed loop is monitoring. So in other words, the ONAP need to monitor the physical network, and it need to receive performance data, right, from the domain controllers underneath, it then send the that's step one, and then the SDNC sends the monitored data events to the DCAE, the DCAE need to do step two, which is the analysis. It need to process the event create an insight of the event, and forward that the result of the analysis to policy, and policy need to do the decision, the third phase, the decision, i.e. to decide what to react, right, what the reaction should be, and the example of the reaction could be modify the existing CLL service to for example increase the current bandwidth, right, in order to reduce the delay, for example, right, of the network, and such a decision will be forwarded to SO, and SO will then carry out the decision, which is the fourth phase, which is execution, right? To execute the decision received from policy. And example could be to change the network configurations to increase the bandwidth, right? Allocated for that user. This is just an example of how the closed loop can be designed inside the CCVPN. And this is
perhaps, hi Henry.
Yes. Hello?
Henry, sorry, this is Ximiao.
Ximiao, yeah.
Yeah. Go back to the previous slides, not this one. Previous. Yeah, this one. So the CLL model.
Yeah.
It's compliant with IETF, right?
Yeah.
In
ANAI. Yes. Yes, Ximiao. The CLL model for Istanbul is pretty much still the same as the slicing model defined in IETF, because the slicing model is a technology agnostic, and it has all its SLA parameters. And the CLL, we don't see much more parameters we need to add to the existing the slicing, right? The model in order to describe what the user wants for CLL. So, so the model wise pretty much is still the IETF model that describes a user slice, right? And one slice. But the call flow is different. Step three. Step three is different because it's no longer a transport slice call flow, right? So to answer your question, step four, model-wise, not much change. We will use the slice definition model for CLL. Step three is different than the transport slice Pavlo.
Right, right, right. Yeah, okay. Thank you. Okay. Well, yeah, what I'm thinking is, so step three and step seven, right? The one is northbound, the other one is southbound.
Right.
And it looks like this is pretty much IETF compliant. And then I'm wondering, you know, if say, for instance, I'm not sure how far MEF has gone, right? On intent
based, okay, yeah,
and that network. Let's assume, so if other, you know, interface basically, you know, for ONAP to support, then yeah, how much reusability of this transporter MD?
Yeah. Jimmy, thanks for the question. It's gives me the opportunity to clarify again the so-called transport domain architecture. We definitely want to support, right, that scenario that Xin Yun just mentioned. We want to be able to let other interfaces or standards, right, to be plugged into this transport network domain, and the way I see we can do it, it's not saying it's easy, but the architecture we choose the ZSM architecture is just for that purpose. Is that we replace step six, okay, and step seven, but we can maintain step three and four. So we on purposely, right, separate step four and six. It's just for that purpose. The CLL definition model is IETF or MEF independent. So it's a technology agnostic, right? Then the STNC, of course, right, need to implement in order to fulfill step five and six. The logic for STNC need to create a new DG, right? That DG, yeah,
mapping, right?
Right, exactly. A DG, but that DG, right, is it, we have a scalable, extendable architecture here. The SDNC, as you know, Xin, right, it has a collection of DGs.
Right.
Just like MDANCE, right, and the ACTN DGs can run separately.
Yeah.
So same idea, yeah, here, right? Same idea here. So yeah, so in the future, I think if for example, Fujitsu is interested, right, to contribute, we just need to create a new DG in step five, like basically, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then, so this is the idea. So to answer the question, right, is that we need a new DG to do step six, and we need, of course, that new DG also do step seven. But the whole framework should be ready to support that idea, right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The challenge here, Xin, is that, you know, this CLL implementation models are not trivial at all, right? As we said, when we both worked on Frankfurt release, right?
Yeah,
we compare the model RAM with all the models.
E-line,
so
E-line, right? Yeah, right.
Exactly. Oh. So this is I think it's basically a investment effort, development effort.
Right. So it got to be defined carefully so that, you know, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, so right. Currently, right. So currently, this CLL implementation model, right, as we mentioned, we have a topology, right. So the essence here is that all the network configurations are reflected on the network topologies, right? Remember, we have this T link attributes, right?
Yeah,
very complex, lots of parameters there. So So that is a IETF, again, it's an IETF network model, right? However, as we worked right in the Frankfurt release, we see that it is IETF network model, right? Can be reused, right? And because MEF defines the service, basically the service instances, but the network resource side, right? Yeah, it can be reused, right? So again, these are the details. Sorry, I talk. Usually, I just cannot control myself, talk too much. To summarize, right? Architecture wise, it makes sense. It's doable, right? Architecture wise, to support different technologies. Then implementation wise, then it's really a question on the implementation effort, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Xin. Okay. Any other questions? Well, actually, I only have one slide left, and then we have enough time to talk after I finish. So this is the last slide, and not much new here. All we are saying here is that to put everything together to form a intent-based system that can support the cloud leaseline use case, okay, using ONAP, and we see that the IBM use case, right, is responsible for the so-called outer loop, right. In the very beginning of the presentation, there's an outer intent loop. That's what this intent based networking use case is mainly responsible for. And CCVPN inner loop, right? The classic closed loop, and CCVPN would configure the cloud leaseline network configurations onto the physical network. This is this concludes my presentation.
So I have a question. Is the for the intent based framework where you showed I think maybe 5 or 6 slides ago, that basic engine of two more back from this, maybe roughly here.
Yeah.
And also the previous slide. So you have basically an intent engine that you've created that you're using for CCVPN. Is that engine used also for the intent-based, general intent-based
Case
as well? Is there some overlap with, here,
right,
where basically you've created a, where you're translating and learning and then configuring, provisioning and going through policy and DC and CPS and abstraction and that. Is there a reuse in the general intent-based or is this a completely new things just for CCVPN?
The reuse, I believe, is here, Ben. The IBM use case, right? It has this learn, config provision monitor. It also has this capability, but it's in the different level of abstraction, right? It's a learn plan. It's not in the network configuration specific way. The CCVPN though did not reuse the existing intent circle implemented by the IBM use case. That's because as we see here, the CCVPN is also called the intent circle, but really that a name, my opinion would be to rename it to transport closed loop. That would probably better to reflect what what this loop is. It's really a classic transport closed loop. We call it intent inner loop, but sometimes it's gonna misled people to be confused with this outer loop. That is a real intent loop.
I see. Okay, thanks.
Henry.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, this closed loop or the intent network closed loop. Okay, so yeah. It's associated with certain layer of services, right? So transport management domain by his name is trying to, in Uriel's case, and this is for actually OTN service, which is layer one. However, the and how to instantiate the service, we do it through CCVPN framework.
Only the transport aspect. Right.
Am I understanding correct? Right.
Yeah.
So it's instead of directly, say, for example, to create and orchestrate a layer one service as it is done in MDANs, but here in your case, it's through CCVPN framework. That's my understanding. Is that correct?
Right. So for the MDANs, my understanding is that MDANs created a UUI portal, right? So the user can directly provision.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
So for CCVPN for this intent, however, we don't, as we see, I don't have that picture. Okay. So the difference is that the CCVPN intent step three, right? I'll show you on the picture.
Right.
It's basically just a SO RESTful API call. The UUI is designed by the IBM use case. So there is a UUI portal, which is for step one to consume, right? The user use a portal. But that portal is not CCVPN's portal. That's what I'll try to highlight. Mm-hmm, and the second thing I'd like to highlight is that this IBM use case is loosely coupled with CCVPN. So what I'm trying to say here is that if I go back to here this model here, that the IBM consumes what CCVPN offers, right? Via its northbound interface. But CCVPN can only offer the cloud lease line use case, right? So IBM for Istanbul release is collaborating with CCVPN to fulfill the cloud lease line use case. However, IBM is not bind to cloud lease line use case. IBM is a very general purpose intent use case. It can do other use cases, right? So one example is in my backup slides.
Right. So basically, in Istanbul, the effort is in CCVPN framework, you have to introduce APIs to support, like, you know, complying with the ZSM 009.
Yeah. So CCVPN set its boundary, right? Although CCVPN evolves, and you're welcome to join us again, right? Let's come back to our topic. CCVPN evolved, true, right? But CCVPN has its boundary. CCVPN only does what transport domain want to do. We do nothing more than transport. IBM, however, IBM use case is not limited to transport domain. IBM is right. IBM, right? So yeah, right.
Right. Any intention, as Ben said, right? This is applied to different layers, right?
Yeah, it's a different layer of abstraction, right? So the IBM is a general. If I understand correctly, okay, I'm not the owner of IBM use case, but according to my understanding, is that the IBM use case is a general purpose intent use case that may not only involve transport. It can involve, for example, the rent and the car. I put this picture here. It's try to highlight here is that the IBM can work with the 5G network slicing use case, mm-hmm. And to make the intent, right? Intent-based end-to-end network slicing become true, right? I believe they have this demo, I believe, with my colleague in Huawei, but they are in wireless team, not in my team, demoed some RAN, I think, it's the RAN slicing, of course. So I just want to highlight here is that the intent is not just for CLL, right? CLL is because transport, it's a transport domain use case, right? But the intent can tell other stories.
Is there an IBM component in IONA? Or I don't know.
It's a use case, Xin.
A use case, right? But the component wise, it cross different components of ONAP, right? In order to support IBM.
Okay, let me see.
Okay.
So, yeah, let me see. Yeah. True. Xin. I think IBM is a use case. It involves not only UUI, DCAE and AI. Yeah.
Right. Sure. Thanks. Yeah. That's the use case. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So Henry, one question.
Yes.
Two question. One is DNA, ACDN simulator.
Yes, REST, ACDN simulator. Yes.
Yeah, REST conf APIs. Okay. Yeah. So vendors, in case is in the API in the form of like gRPC or some other protocols, in that case we need DG graphs for other vendors.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so right now it is totally based on the ACTN MAPI adopters, what is accepted by the ACTN.
Sorry, I couldn't see your name, but
Ratna Sankar. I drop a mail if you remember.
Hi. Okay. Yeah.
Another question, you are telling in the close, I'm assuming that it will run based on the events which will be raised by the transport network. The net notifications which will be raised. When user will define the intent based requirement, the close will handle that events.
Okay. I see.
It will receive the events from the fiscal. So data collector will receive the events from the device.
Yes. Let me repeat the question, if I answered correctly, because I think I did not hear every word.
What I understand, a data collector will receive the event from the hardware. Okay, now AE for the analysis purpose. Okay.
Yes.
So my question is that right now you are collecting data, netcom notification, or it will support all kind of notification, there is some different format of notification in case of SNMP trap
verification. Okay.
So I think that
Ratna's kind of cutting in and out a little bit. Yeah.
Which kind of data has from the transport network? Notifications.
Yeah. So, first of all, the question. In this picture, these domain controllers are again, in our testing bed is a simulator. So in other words, the simulator can simulate events, but for this Istanbul release, we would use a RESTConf GET operation instead of a push, right? So here in this interface here, it's still a HTTP, okay, or RESTConf GET to get the events back, and the data collector is a DG, running on SDNC.
Okay, so DG, it's like notifications.
Sorry, I.
I am saying that some alarm raised in the transport network.
Good question. Same. Right.
Okay, raised right. In the transport network. Okay, so in layer. So you are telling you are receiving through the RESTConf GET call.
Yes. So yeah. Let me clarify. Yeah. So, ideally, right? According according to at least the IETF right preference is the alarm based, is a push based, event driven, right? So that is what we call a young push, right? A young push standard. However, for this current release, we use a simpler approach, which is a polling based. It can achieve the same goal, right? To retrieve the event. Of course, we have to pay the efficiency penalty because we do the periodical polling, right? Every 5 seconds we poll. So to answer your question, it's not as efficient as a push based method, but the alarm can still be pulled.
Yes, I understand that there is a multiple approach here. You are telling that there is a pooling and periodic pooling.
Yeah.
Okay. So in that case, we will not immediately receive the notification from the transport layer.
True.
So we are periodically getting the notification. So there is some issues in that approach. Basically, most of the vendors are want through immediate notifications.
Yes.
NetConf, it is a immediate notification. In GRPC, there is a GRPC dial-in
yes,
notification.
I fully agree, right? Yes.
So just want to know that how your closed loop will run.
Yeah.
Through the notification. Okay.
Yeah.
There is a polar. Yes.
Right. Okay. Right. I personally would prefer a push based for the exactly the reason you just mentioned, right?
Yes.
And it is a recommended approach, as I said from IETF, because IETF defined the young push standards, right? However, the Istanbul release is our first release, right? The call flow is our main goal for the Istanbul release to prove of a concept. The call flow works, then we improve it as a second step, right? That could be Istanbul
yes,
plus
yes.
one. And
correct. Yes. It is little bit difficult to provide the everything in one release.
In one, yeah, correct. Yes.
Because you created the protection, protection path as well through the, in one of the diagram, you created second last
yes,
diagram.
Yes, yes,
you have created
yes.
the protection in the second
yes,
last.
That's yes, that's a protection.
ODU,
yes,
yes ODU, yes, ODU yes. production you have. So that protection will work when we have the push-based approach.
Right. Exactly. You see that? Yeah, exactly. Right. We have a protection here, and the protection to the switch over.
Yes,
need to be push based. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, most of the customer I have seen, I think in Ciena as well as Cisco, the customer wants immediate switching from the one service to one circuit to the another circuit.
For sure. Yes. Yes. They all push based. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I designed that previously in my previous work as well. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But thanks.
Thanks for the question, though. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, so we're a little bit over time. So thank you everybody for attending, and I think maybe we should call it here. Yeah, thanks Henry for your great presentation. And if you send me the slides, I'll upload them to the site. Okay, great. Thank you everybody, have a great day. Thanks.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks.
Yeah, bye. Thanks, bye-bye.